Jason, the Bears have 6 wins, but none in the NFC North. They will look to fix that on Sunday when they go to Minneapolis. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears have a chance to do a lot of things on Sunday. Avenge maybe their worst loss of the season. Make a dent in the NFC North for the first time. And try to chip away at, what do they need, 4 wins in the second half of the season to be a legitimate playoff contender.
Yeah, they probably need 4-4 probably gets it, yep. I would say, right? Mm-hmm. 3-5 might even get it, depending on how things shake out with other teams. You might get in at 9-8. Patrick, I think it's big for I think it's really important for the Bears in the big picture, too, with what did Ryan Poles say? What was the boldest statement that he made the day he took the job?
Was he going to take the North and never give it back?
Yeah, and so far they have been last place every single season. And I have no vision of – I'm not in the group of people that is, like, down on Green Bay. Pretty sure Green Bay is going to be there at the end and be a contender and be a championship contender this year. The Bears and the Lions, too, obviously. Step one toward taking the North would be to show that you're ahead of the Vikings.
Right.
Better than the Vikings. And better at quarterback than the Vikings. At least equal coaching staff-wise to the Vikings, which right now you're not.
Right.
The Vikings with Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores are ahead of you, and no matter how excited you are about Ben Johnson, look what those two have accomplished. They are ahead of you. You've got to show that you are decisively, definitively better than the Vikings. That is one step toward taking the North.
And yet they're not favored.
And they shouldn't be. The Vikings beat them in week one. The Vikings are a solid team. I don't think the Vikings are a playoff team this year, but they're solid. Right. This isn't like playing the Giants or the Bengals or some of these joke teams that they've beaten this year.
Or the Saints. Yeah.
The Raiders. We could keep going. So, I mean, it's a huge game for them in their climb as they try to establish some legitimacy in the NFC North in the big picture. In the small picture, it's really an important game for them to level up. They have beaten 6 teams, right?
Yep.
Who have they beaten that's good?
Nobody.
Who have they beaten that's even okay?
Dallas.
Yeah. So there's one. You need to be able to show you're capable of being in the same weight class of just average teams, and you should beat average teams even on the road. The Vikings are an average team. J.J. McCarthy, I think, has made 4 career starts, so he's still really kind of fledgling. Even though he's faced the Bears already once this season, this is a task they should be up to. If we were talking about right now, instead of them going to Minnesota, if we were saying they're going to Detroit, I wouldn't be talking like that. Right. I'd be like, yeah, they just need to kind of show they can hold their own, I guess, a little bit again and make it close against a team like the Lions. If you are trying to ascend, and if you are in year 4 of a rebuild, new coach or not, you need to be able to handle a challenge like this.
And you have a quarterback, I think, that has proven, granted against bad teams, Jason, that that he can pull one out for you when you need it. Over and over again, 4 comeback victories in the fourth quarter this year, 5 dating back to week 18 of last year when the Bears went to Lambeau and beat the Packers' backup quarterback. I think, am I wrong in saying that faith in Caleb Williams might be at an all-time high around here?
No, you're right. And, man, those late-game heroics do so much for what you're talking about. It's that intangible belief. Ben Johnson said it's just something that spreads through, that permeates through their locker room where there's this confidence that the Bears are going to find a way to win, and specifically that guy is going to find a way for them to win. And if you think back to last year, and really if you think back to the last several seasons of the Bears, pre-Caleb Williams, pre-Ben Johnson, it was never that feeling.
No.
In fact, many times it was quite the opposite. It was, yeah, you know they're going to find some way to blow this, and that is what happened.
Well, and that's what Ben told them when he got here, which is, listen, the scouting report on you guys is that if it's close, you're going to lose. And, you know, Caleb being able to do what he's done just in terms of the cultural shift there, I think, is noteworthy. Now, why doesn't he play the rest of the game like that?
Yeah, that's a key question. He's been the best fourth quarter, the best quarterback in the league in the final 5 minutes of games.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you're all sitting here listening to this and saying, well, we know he's good during the last 5 minutes, but I'm telling you, statistically, he has been the best.
Do you have numbers?
Quarterback in the league. In the last 5 minutes of games, Caleb Williams has a league best 143.8 passer rating.
Is that good, Jason?
He's getting 11.5 yards per attempt.
That's insane.
That's not per completion. He drops back to throw the ball. Like, you pull that lever, you're getting 11.5 yards. 143.8 rating, best in the league in the last 5 minutes. The other 55 minutes, which all count, by the way, 87.5.
Right.
Like Mitch Trubisky level, pedestrian, forgettable, doesn't do anything for you. I don't think you want to keep playing that game. It is great if Caleb raises his play in the last 5 minutes. It is not great if it's always by necessity.
Sure.
And if it's nowhere close to that the other 55 minutes, which is what the numbers are telling you right now. You want to see a guy who is good to great for the first 55 minutes and then incredible at the end. Not where's he been all day and then incredible at the end.
Well, what's remarkable about those numbers too, Jason, is the Bears haven't played a lot of games where those were meaningless moments.
Yeah, but you will if...
If you do it right.
If you're bad.
Or if you're good.
He is going to be playing games where those last 5 minutes don't matter if he continues to have an 87.5 passer rating for the first 55 minutes.
Sure.
Then it will really be inconsequential that he is a guy who puts up numbers late. You need to play well start to finish in order to have those minutes at the end count.
Right.
And I think that's the question. This is the question for the Bears, is how do you get what he's doing in those last 5 minutes to be something you see throughout the game? Completion percentage is up late. Yards per attempt are up late. Passer rating is up late. Rushing performance, minimizing interceptions, sacks, all those things are better for him in the last 5 minutes. You got to find out why. Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle have to find the answer to that, because being a franchise quarterback in the last 5 minutes, but not being anything really the first 55, that doesn't do anything for you. That's not your answer going forward. Some version of what he does in the last 5 minutes, extrapolated over 60, now that is your future. That is an answer. And I wonder, you know, as I theorize about this, as I try to figure, like, what's my hypothesis? What's my guess?
Right.
What's your guess? What would you get if somebody said, why is the guy so good at the end, not so great for the first 90% of the game? What would you say?
Because he's not afraid to tuck the ball and run it. And I think
At the end, he just does it. He just goes for it when it's there.
And I think that is hard to replicate over 60 minutes.
Okay.
You know, you have a quarterback here who's never missed a down, really, because of health issues. And you want to keep it that way. And one of the ways you keep it that way is you can't just take off with the ball in the second quarter every time. You have to keep your eyes downfield. I think he's more willing to scramble. I think he's more willing to... And I think going at tempo probably helps him a little bit too. What do you think?
Well, the first thing you said that he's much more of a decisive runner, and that is so much more present as a threat to the defense late in the game, mm-hmm. That's a good point, because then that opens up everything from a passing perspective. Right. Usually the quarterback is unaccounted for. Now you have to watch him because he's hurting you with 17-yard runs or something like that, and you're having to monitor a bunch of different things defensively. Right. That's going to help him as a passer. So even when he doesn't run, just the threat that he might opens up space to throw to. I think there is also, I suspect there is also, like, there could be a lot of reasons for this. We can make a pie chart of it. I think one slice of that pie chart is when you have no choice, no matter what you do for a living, if you have no choice but to get something right, if the pressure is at maximum and time is running out and bosses are not pleased and your performance hasn't looked good and the big meetings tomorrow or the big presentations tomorrow or whatever, you focus so much harder, because you just have to. There is no alternative. You are in this situation where it's kind of cliche, but it's, you have no choice but to get it right. No option but to win at that point. And I think that really gets him dialed in in a way that he doesn't appear to be the first 55 minutes. So the good thing about that is that that might open the possibility of, hey, you could play like that all the time. Mm-hmm. You could get to that level of processing and attentiveness for 60 minutes. Like, you've got the template for it right here in the last five. Ben Johnson offered an explanation on this, or at least a theory on this. I don't know that Ben Johnson knows.
Right.
And if there's anyone that could know and probably needs to figure it out, why, it's Ben Johnson, because Ben Johnson is literally the coach. He is coaching Caleb Williams to try to get what you see in the last 5 minutes for the entirety of a game and for the entirety of a season. And by the way, if they get there, that would be phenomenal. The numbers that we're telling you about the last 5 minutes, I mean, Caleb's basically played a game, like the equivalent of a game, if you just take the last 5 minutes. He's thrown something like 23 passes or something like that, I think, in the final 5 minutes of games. If he's given you, you know, 65% completions, and these are his actual numbers in the last 5 minutes of games. If he gives you a single game, start to finish, that is 65% completions, 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions, 260-ish yards, something like that, man, you will take that. That works.
And a passer rating of 147 or
143.
Whatever.
Right. That works. Ben Johnson's theory is that at that point, it is drop back and throw.
Right.
And even though the defense know that's not usually a good thing in the NFL, because passing in obvious passing situations is very, very difficult because of what it allows the opposing pass rush to do. But that's what Caleb Williams loves. That's what he's good at. And even if they know what he's going to do, that's just in his wheelhouse, I think, is what Ben Johnson said on Wednesday. Drop back and throw. Find something that the defense isn't alert to. See things before everyone else on the field sees it, and then make these incredibly athletic throws. These throws that he makes, some throws that the rest of the league can't. You put him in that situation, that is a recipe for success. That is what feels comfortable and feels natural for him. Problem is, you can't do that the whole game. That is not something that could be extrapolated to 60 minutes.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back to the Commanders game too, Jason, where Caleb did exactly what you wanted Caleb to do, and he did it by turning around and handing the ball off. And the Bears' offense, you know, it doesn't just turn into throw every down in the final 5 minutes. Ben has done a good job of trying to balance that. And I think that's an important step, too, because, even today when you heard Ben talk about why Caleb has been sacked so few times compared to last season, you know, he immediately went to, well, when you're running the ball, then other teams can't pin their ears back. Like, you know, it wasn't, you know, I asked him whether it was because of Caleb, because of the O-line, or because of the scheme. And he essentially said, well, it's because of the running backs first.
Yeah.
And then it's all that other stuff. So they're not – I wish it were easy enough that we could sit there and say they're just so pass-heavy at the end, but I don't think that's been the case either.
You make a good point about the running game too, because one, Ben Johnson has been pretty disciplined about running the ball even when it hasn't been working.
Right.
And this was the thing that came up with Matt Nagy, if you want to rewind back to – him running the ball 6 or 7 times, whatever, it was the fewest times they'd ever run, and then saying afterward, I know we need to run more, I'm not an idiot. You have to run even if it's not effective, because there have been times this season where the Bears have continued to run, it hasn't been effective, but guess what? Play action, still working, because even if you're not hitting a team hard in the running game, the fact that you're running regularly at all,
right,
they have to pay attention to it.
Yeah, and there are stats, too, that prove that you don't need to be a good running team to be a good play-action team. And I would argue to you that you don't even have to sell the fake well, because you ever watch Caleb sell a play-action fake?
I have not paid attention to this. What are you?
It's not great. It's
how
not
so?
Great.
What do you mean?
If you just watch him, you wouldn't believe it was a handoff.
Hmm.
But given that he is as small as he is, and given that he's standing behind linemen, it almost doesn't matter. Like, once he turns his back to the line of scrimmage, you have to think run if you're the opposing defense. Jason, with the Vikings, and you touched on this a little bit, that they are a step up in competition from what the Bears have done recently. But how much of one?
Well, they're ahead of the Bears, big picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been better. They've beaten them this year. They are excellent defensively. I don't think you know what you're going to get from them offensively with J.J. McCarthy. But they do present big challenges in the at skill positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a concern for the Bears defense that has to figure it out. We've had this conversation a few times, some version of this conversation a few times this year, Patrick, where regardless of how the offense is playing, there is room to fill in the outline of what they can become.
Right.
I don't know if there is a lot of room to grow defensively without what is the path to the offense getting better? It's Caleb getting better. It's Theo Benedet maybe getting better. It's Kyle Manungai, a rookie. There's all these young guys with high potential offense.
Luther Burden, Colson Loveland.
Yes, right. Thank you. Yeah, those are good names to bring up, too. Defensively, that's not really the case. There's not a lot of work in progress, developmental stuff, guys. I mean, the one guy that was like that was Shamar Turner, who's out for the year. I mean, the only way that this defense gets better and is able to reckon with challenges like the Vikings will present at the skill positions and the Packers and the Lions and the 49ers, these teams coming up, is to get healthier, I guess. You add talent. This is a very rare addition of being able to get a starting caliber player in C.J. Gardner-Johnson and have that go well so far. The other way would be if you get a fully healthy T.J. Edwards and Kyler Gordon and maybe eventually Jalen Johnson back. Right. But those things are still a little bit of a ways away, depending on who we're talking about. It's a long way away with Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, I thought that was an important development Wednesday. At the very least, Ben Johnson said that the plan remains for Jalen and Kyler Gordon to return at some point this year from their injuries. I think, Kyler seems to me to be closer to doing that than Jalen is, but that's at least the plan. And who knows? Sometimes with these long-term injuries like Jalen has, you hold it out there as a carrot just to motivate the player, and then you kind of see whether it's going to work out or not.
Ben Johnson has said from the beginning that Kyler Gordon he thought would be short-term.
Short-term.
It would be probably implying that it'd be the four-week minimum, which will put him back next week against Pittsburgh, I believe.
Yeah.
And he reiterated basically that Wednesday, saying we're still thinking the same thing.
The last 3 weeks, and the reason I had asked you whether the Vikings were any good is because, granted, they've had some fluctuation in their quarterback, who's playing quarterback and how well they're playing quarterback. But, last week they lost at home to the Ravens. Then the week before they beat the Lions in Detroit, as good of a win as any team has all year, probably, right?
Yeah.
And the week before that, they lost to the Chargers by 27. Boy, they're just taking wild swings up and down here, aren't they?
That's life with a rookie quarterback, usually.
Yeah.
You just don't know when it'll click,
Carson,
when it won't.
Or with Carson Wentz.
That's true, yeah. Right. I mean, they're back to McCarthy now, but they still have so much they bring to the table skill-wise. What is your biggest concern other than Justin Jefferson, the obvious one?
Oh, Justin Jefferson.
Okay. Justin Jefferson is like top three on your list. He's number one, two, and three of problems.
Well, I mean,
that's fair.
I think the most interesting thing that we'll see during the game Sunday is how Brian Flores plays Caleb Williams.
Which Caleb's done well.
Yeah. Caleb Williams has done well against him, but Ben Johnson said in week one, Flores wasn't blitzing as much as he usually does, and it took me too long to figure that out. And now that was the first game Ben Johnson had ever played head coach. Is that?
I know what you meant.
Yeah. So hopefully he has grown since then. He seems to think that the offense is better than it was in week one, and there's no debating that. But I'll be curious to see how Flores decides he wants to play them.
I don't think there's any opposing coach that I've heard Caleb Williams talk more about than Brian Flores, the Vikings defensive coordinator. I don't think there's any coach or coordinator I've heard him.
And you're right.
Going back to last year, it's so on his radar of what a challenge this is. And Brian Flores, you could argue now and for the last, three or four years, the best defensive coach in the league.
Yep. Yeah.
When he was head coach of the Dolphins and defensive coordinator of the Vikings. Best defensive mind in the NFL.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson was saying today that so much of what Flores does is going to depend on how healthy some of his players are, too. Harrison Smith might be the best safety in football. He wasn't on the field in week one. He will be this time around. There are some things that they can do now that they were not able to do in the opener. Do you have stats for Caleb against the Vikings?
Caleb Williams in three career games against Brian Flores and the Vikings, 63% completions. That's fine. 93.6 passer rating, 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions, 7.3 yards per pass. So pretty solid. Only been sacked 7 times.
Really?
In 3 games against the Vikings.
That's unbelievable. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. 0-3 against the Vikings, though, correct?
Yes, 0-3 nonetheless.
Yeah,
they had, let's see, what was the, so the three games were the, I think I have these in the right order, the overtime game at Soldier Field, another correct. Late rally for Caleb Williams to get it there, and then a really ugly one on Monday Night Football with Karan Amagaji at left tackle in Minnesota.
Late in the season, yeah.
And then a really ugly game week one this year where the Bears had that in hand and Caleb and the offense just fell apart. And next thing you know, J.J. McCarthy is winning Offensive Player of the Week and walking out of there with a win.
And it's something that he's replicated once, not the award, but a solid game. He played well against the Lions, and that's about it. You know, Jason, as we sit here right now and then we'll get out of here, I'm looking at the list of Bears finishes in the NFC North mm-hmm. over the last, let's say, since John Fox took over. You want to do that?
Ugh, that's a long way back for this to be as sad as I anticipate it's going to be.
Fourth, 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 fourth. First, 2018. Third, second, third, fourth, fourth, fourth.
Yuck.
You know where they are right now, technically, legally?
Technically, legally?
Yes. First.
Is that right?
Yes.
Aren't they tied with the Lions?
Yes.
And don't the Lions have the edge?
I said technically, okay. Legally. We're not done yet.
Okay. Bears are in the playoff field, too, as you know.
Yeah.
I believe they are the sixth seed now?
Yeah, they were the seventh going into that Packer game. And now they are the sixth. Going to Seattle, how you feel about that?
The Bears would be at Seattle game opening round?
Yeah.
Seattle looks pretty good right now.
The idea that they are playing relevant football at this point of the season, I think, is intriguing across the board.
Totally. I mean, look at it. Like, they may not hang on for this.
I think they probably will not.
It'll be super hard for them to do it. But just wrap your head around... It's mid-November, and they're in the playoff field, right. And they're going to play a bunch of games that are going to matter.
Right.
I mean, that's not been the case, typically.
Do you know what happened a year ago today? Or a year ago Wednesday? Maybe a year ago yesterday.
Did it have been, like, the Arizona loss or the New England loss?
They fired Shane Waldron.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it would have been after the New England loss?
It was, yeah.
So would they have already been under 500, I think, at that point? 4-5?
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, so compared to last season, this year is... I mean, this feels like...
And the previous seasons were like that, too, Pat, right. Where you got Matt Eberflus up there saying, hey, we're 2-2 in our last 4. And even though we've had 2 coaches leave in disgrace, you know, the culture is awesome. Right. And the year before was a complete throwaway season.
Right.
And the year before was Matt Nagy just, like, dead man walking out right. to the podium for the last 6 weeks of the season. I mean, it has been a long time since the Bears were this relevant, this late.
And it's not even that late. We're essentially at the turn. Yeah.
This is not. They don't talk about this on a podcast if they're covering the Rams.
Right.
But this is really good for them. This is progress for the Bears.
Right. And the fact that they can, Ben has said 5 times this year. If he said it once, it's a lot easier to coach coming off of a win. Even if the bottom does drop out here. Just the progress that they can make between now and the end of the season. You and I both agree that playoffs are not, if by the end of the year, if you go, yeah, Caleb Williams, that's going to work, I think that's a tremendous success, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's the biggest indicator of your future.
Yep.
If you've got the coach QB pairing right, then you're going to like where you're headed. Their schedule the rest of the year, I like the way that this schedule ended up setting up. I think it was favorable to them, but I also like how it sets up from a standpoint of analyzing them and observing them the way we do every day, where they have gotten this kind of soft start mm-hmm. playing a bunch of bad teams, the Giants and the Saints and whoever else, the Raiders. And now they have this challenge that, as we sit here today, it is too much for them.
Right.
Go down the stretch. This is not an 8-game stretch that you would sit here right now and say, oh, yeah, they're ready for that. They get the opportunity to prove that they are.
Mm-hmm.
They get the opportunity to now step up in class where you have 8 games, most of them against good to great teams. And if they are what they think they are, they will show that.
Yep.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Show us.
Yeah. And they're in, I think they're in a good position health-wise to go into that and give us a true reading. Certainly the quarterback being healthy is a big part of that. And I think that we know what they are as a team, and I think we know what their personality is, Jason. Now let's see whether that's good enough. Jason, that'll do it from here. We will come back later in the week from U.S. Bank Stadium, the best of all the stadiums, correct?
I like SoFi better.
Okay.
But I think you have to put SoFi in a different category because it was, what, $6 billion or something to build?
Yeah.
Now in the more like conventional $2 billion price range,
right.
This is my favorite one. I think it's your favorite one as well.
I think that Lambeau Field has to be in a different category. Lambeau's great, but Lambeau, like, right, what, do we take Lambeau?
Yeah.
Do we take Mile High? What's the other one that you put in the Arrowhead? Arrowhead, Lambeau, Mile High, different conversation than every other stadium.
Mile High, are you meaning to say that?
Yeah.
Do you think that place is that?
No, it's just an old stadium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're replacing it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're trying to.
So at least a top two new stadium.
This one's great, and it's what I wish. We talk about this every year when they're playing at Minnesota. You and I have this conversation. I'm sure people have heard all this before. But it's what I wish the Bears would have modeled, and I thought it was so obvious that they would model their new stadium design off of,
right.
Given that that's where Kevin Warren comes from, instead of this thing that looks a lot like Allegiant in Las Vegas.
Yeah, designed by David Manica, the guy who did the Raiders stadium in Vegas. Jason, I'll wrap up a second time. I'm sorry, that's on me, by the way, going off on a stadium jag. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. We'll be back again real soon.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.